Genesis chapter 23, beginning with verse 25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Living Bible says you will live out the full quota of your days. God says, I will take sickness away from the midst of you. And I will fulfill the number of your days. We are beginning a series this morning. And this series is going to go on tonight and probably every Sunday night for the rest of this month. And it's on the area of healing and health. You know, I have sensed such a stirring in my own heart and in my own spirit in this area. You know, it's a funny thing with me, and I don't know if it works out this way with you or not, but when God is challenging me in an area, he makes me focus on that area. And I focus on it so much that's all I think about. And I begin to eat, sleep, and drink that area. And, you know, it's kind of extreme to do that, but what I find is when I do that, that God begins to get that functioning in my life, and then it falls back into perspective. And then everything is in balance again. But I have found that that's the way it works with me. You know, a number of years ago, I asked Pastor Fred, I said, you know, I feel something stirring in my heart. I said, and I see some things in God's Word. Do you mind if I share on tithing? And of course, at that time, I wasn't on staff here, you know, and there's a real grace to share on that area. And so he said, sure, go ahead. And I said, well, you know, I might have a couple messages. He said, that's okay, go ahead. And so I shared this message, and I said, you know, afterwards, I said, Pastor Fred, I've still got a couple messages. That's okay, you know. And anyway, I ended up going for about 7 or 8 messages because God was stirring this in my heart, this area that God is our provision and that God would meet our needs. And it became so real to me that that's all I ever thought about. You know, if you talk to me, every other line, do you guys remember? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. You guys remember that, don't you? I mean, that's the way I talked. Because it was becoming real to me. And I believe that God wants to make this area of healing and health functional in our life. It's not enough for it to be one of our doctrines. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the authority, integrity of the Bible. I believe in healing. I believe in, you know, that's not enough. God wants those things to be so real to us and so actively a part of our lives that we're living in it, that we're walking in it, that we're experiencing in it, experiencing it. How many like the idea, be honest, of being healthy? Now, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think God wants us to be healthy, and I believe that you're going to think that by the time we get done with this too. That God is for this area. This is an important area. You know, you might say, well, why focus on this area? Shouldn't we focus on preaching the gospel? Shouldn't we focus on sharing about getting people saved? But let me ask you this. How effective are you at sharing the gospel when you're sick? How many people have you led to the Lord when you're in bed with the flu? You know, you don't feel like doing those things. You don't feel like going over to brother so-and-so's house and laying hands on him and praying for him to be healed when you're sick, do you? You don't feel like going next door to your neighbor who is in need and sharing with them the words of life, the words of Jesus Christ. You know what you feel like doing? Just staying in your space, you know, staying at home and oh, man, I feel bad. Ever felt like that? I feel bad. You know, I think this is an important area because it will affect your effectiveness for God. It will affect your effectiveness. See, God has called us to a ministry. God has a purpose for our lives. And I believe that we can fulfill that purpose if our bodies are functioning. I believe that we can fulfill that purpose greater if our bodies are functioning. Now, you know, there are a lot of businesses today that are thriving. And if I asked you, you know what, give me an example of a thriving business today. I mean, besides pizza delivery. A business that is thriving today. You know, there are a lot of businesses, but one business that is really thriving right now are hospitals. The medical profession. You know, people are being trained to be doctors and trained to be nurses, and we need more of them. We need more of them all the time. It's like an area we just can't seem to meet the need on. You know why? Because I think people are getting sicker and sicker. Now, this may not sound like a good message, but it has a good ending, okay? I believe that people are getting sicker and sicker. And, you know, they tell us that people are getting things at earlier ages. Cancer is just, compared to what it used to be, it's just blown out of proportion. Heart problems, lung problems, all kinds of physical ailments. You know, I appreciate doctors and I appreciate the medical field. You know, they are fighting to try to get people well. I appreciate that. But you know, doctors are limited. And medicine is limited. I heard a fella talking to this doctor and he said, "What do you do?" And he says, "I practice medicine." And the guy says, "Well, who do you practice on?" In a sense, there's a truth to that. You know, doctors are pretty accurate in some areas, and they're certainly got a good motive. I appreciate their desire to get people well, but they have limitations, and boy, do they know it. Just ask them. They know their limitations. But this is an area I believe that I am personally being challenged, and I believe that God is going to be challenging us to look increasingly more to God in. You know, God has no limitations. And God knows how to diagnose something right on. He never misses it. You know, God created our bodies. And He knows how to make them function properly so that we can get the most use out of them. God has some things to say about this area. You know, we are God's creation. We are the product of God. God created us. You know, when you buy a product, when you buy a washing machine, it comes with a manual that tells you how to get the most use out of that product. And it tells you that, you know, if you use that product properly, it'll last a long time and do a good job for you. Now, there are certain things you shouldn't do with the washer. You shouldn't wash mud pies. You shouldn't wash metal objects. Do you know you can decrease the life of your washing machine by washing metal objects? The dryer doesn't do too well either. You know, my wife and I have a washer and dryer that we bought almost when we were married. Just a little bit after. And we've almost been married 15 years now. And they are functioning. They are working fine. But we don't wash metal objects. And we try not to wash mud pies. Now, my wife has washed a few guitar picks. But so far, we've fared okay. We are God's product, and He's given us a manual that tells us how to get the most use out of the product. And when you follow the manual, the product works good. Let me just give you an example. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing." God says, don't worry about anything or you'll violate the product. Do you know that is true? Anxiety. Do you have any idea the amount of physical problems that anxiety causes? There are books being written about it today. There are so many things that anxiety... And God says, don't do that. Because I made you and I created you and I know that if you do that, it will affect you. God has given us a manual so that we can live properly and get the most use out of this body that God has given us. We are created in the image of God. God gave us dominion and authority. We are His representatives in the earth. We represent God. You know, I remember when I was with Frito-Lay, you know, I always used to tell people, Frito-Lay is the largest snack food company in the world. You know, I felt pretty good to represent the largest snack food company in the world. But think about it. You represent God. You can't get any bigger than that. Who do you represent? The Almighty. We are representatives of God on this planet. And as representatives, you know, when I worked for Frito-Lay, they made sure that I could represent them properly. And if my Frito-Lay truck broke down, man, they got that thing fixed. I mean, they didn't even ask questions. They didn't even make me run around and get estimates. They said, you get that in there and you get that fixed because you've got a job to do. And see, God has given us a job to do. And I believe that He is able to equip us to get that job done. Why do you keep your vehicle in order? Why do you repair your car when it breaks down? Do you? You know, when my car breaks down, I get it fixed. You know why? Because it's of no use to me. Maybe you like the idea of a car sitting in your driveway that doesn't work, but I don't. Or sitting in front of your house. I don't like that. If my car runs out of gas, you know the first thing I do? Put gas in it. When my battery runs down, the first thing I do is charge it up. Because that car is useful to me if it's running. If it's running, then I can get the proper use out of it. It'll do for it, for me, what needs to be done. What good is a broken down vehicle? How do you think God feels about His vehicles? First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you know when you go around, guess who goes with you? God. Your body is the temple of God. When you go places, God goes with you. What is His vehicle in the earth today? We are. How do you think God feels about His vehicles? Do you think He wants them running? I mean, I realize I'm kind of approaching this from a logical perspective, but bear with me this morning. God wants you running. God wants you functional. He does not want you incapacitated. I cannot use my car unless it's maintained in order. And in order. What am I saying this morning? I am saying, if you are sick, God wants to heal you. And if you're sick this morning, God wants to heal you this morning. You know, Jesus is a healer. And guess who's here this morning? Jesus Christ. He is the healer. You know, when you as a parent see your child sick, love drives you to do all that is in your power to see them healed and well, doesn't it? Do you think God feels any different towards His children, of which we are? Jesus said, if you being evil in comparison to God, know how to give good things, desire good things for your children, how much more does God desire to do good? How much more is God willing to do good for His children? We serve that kind of a God. Exodus chapter 15, please. I would encourage you, if you're not, to take notes and at least jot down the scriptures that we're going to be looking at concerning healing. Over the course of the time that we're going to be looking into this area, we're probably going to cover a lot of different scriptures. And I believe it would be valuable to you to jot these down and to have a look at them on your own time and just meditate on them. You know, there's a powerful thing when you spend time in God's Word. God will speak it to you. It's one thing for somebody to stand up here and say, well, God says this. It's another thing when you're reading your Bible and spending time in the Word for God to say it to you. Does that make sense? You know, when God says, I am the Lord who heals you, you've got something. God has quickened His Word and spoken it to you. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now this was God revealing Himself to His people. There are seven redemptive, we call them redemptive names that are found in the Old Covenant concerning God. The first part of that redemptive name is the name Jehovah. The name Jehovah carries the idea of I am the Eternal One. It also carries the idea that I am. You know, when God appeared to Moses through a burning bush and gave him a message to carry to his people, Moses said, you know, just in case somebody asked, you know, who should I say sent me? Who am I representing here? Whose representative am I? And God says, I am that I am. Tell them that I am has sent you, has spoken this to you. You know, that's an interesting name. I am. And I appreciate that name because it's present tense. And I need a present tense God. I don't need a God of the past. I mean, I appreciate what God has done in the past, but aren't you glad He didn't say, I was? And aren't you glad He didn't say, I will be? Now, you know, I appreciate what God has done in the past, and I appreciate what God is going to do in the future. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to all those things. But I need a living God right now. And He said, I am. And God revealed Himself through these redemptive names, and He said, I am your provision, Jehovah Jireh. I am your provision. God is saying, I want to be your source. I want you to look to me and let me be your supply. And God is saying, that's what I am. I am your provision. He says, Jehovah Tsidkenu. He says, I am your righteousness. There, don't try to get righteousness any other way. Don't try to work it up yourself. I said, all your righteousness is as filthy rags. He says, but I am your righteousness. Come to me, and I'll give you righteousness. One of the redemptive names is Jehovah Rapha. And there God says, I am your healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, you know, I heard a fellow one time say that healing has passed away and that God doesn't heal anymore. But, you know, I have a real problem with that. And I know all of us, you know, we don't even wrestle with that because we've seen God heal so many times and we've experienced healing in our own bodies. But, you know, the only way that healing could pass away would be for God to pass away. Because He says, I am Jehovah Rapha. And you know God doesn't change. How many know that? God is immutable. God cannot change. God cannot be altered. And when He says He is anything, He is that for eternity. He always was and He always will be. He is Jehovah Rapha. God is saying in that statement and in that expression, He's saying, I desire to be your physician. I desire to be your healer. I want you to look to me when you need healing because I am the Lord that healeth thee. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. The basis for confidence in prayer, and we all know this, is to know what God's will is. The basis for confidence in approaching anybody, I mean with confidence, is knowing what their will is. You know, if my dad said to me, you know, son, if you have a car problem or if you ever need an extra vehicle, I've got this one at the house, you know. Just let me know and I'll let you use it. If he says that to me, and I believe that he's a person of integrity and means what he says, then when I have a car problem or when I need an extra vehicle for some reason, I can go to him with confidence. Do you know why? Because I know what his will is. He's expressed what his will is. You know, that is the basis of faith. That is the basis for confidence in approaching God, is knowing what his will is. John chapter, but let me just read it to you. John chapter 6, verse 38. You know, if we're going to find out what the will of God is, I think the first person that we need to look at is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came to do the will of God. The scripture that I'm reading in John 6, 38 says this, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Hebrews 10, 7, it says, "Lo, I have come down," or it says, "Behold, I have come down, lo, it is written of me in the volume of your book, to do thy will, O God." Jesus came to do the will of God. When you look at Jesus, you're looking at God incarnate and a perfect expression of the will of God. What he did in every situation and in any circumstance is a perfect expression of the will of God. You know, when he rebuked Pharisees, that was the will of God. When he healed the sick, that was the will of God. And it's an interesting thing about Jesus Christ. When you follow him in the Gospels, you'll find that there is not one incident recorded where a sick person came to Jesus to be healed and he said no. There is not one situation where Jesus said, "I'm sorry, you can't do it now. You'll have to wait." Or where he said he would not do it. Every single incident of a person coming to Jesus to be healed went away healed. Now that says something to me. Jesus Christ is a revelation of the will of God. Hebrews 1:3 says that he is the being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus is a revelation of what God is like. If you wanted to know what God was like, you looked at Jesus Christ. One fellow said this. He said, "Jesus put a face on God so that we could see what God was really like." Jesus was a living demonstration of the will of God. Do you remember when Jesus was saying that, you know, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, and Philip said, "Jesus, just show us the Father and that'll be sufficient." And Jesus said, "Philip, have I been such a long time with you and you have not seen him?" God was being revealed through Jesus Christ. The will of God was being revealed through Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't do anything that was not the will of God. He said, I do what I see my Father doing, he said. Whatever I see my Father doing, that's what I do. In every situation, in every circumstance, he expressed the will of God. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 1. I just want to look for a few minutes at the ministry of Jesus as it's recorded in the Gospels, as we see Jesus revealing the will of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. This was a leper that came to Jesus and talked to Jesus. And I appreciate this being recorded in Scripture because I think it answers a very important question. I'll tell you where we break down. We don't have any problem with the fact that God heals. We don't have any problem with the fact that God has the ability to heal. Do you know where we have a problem? Will he heal me? We don't even have a problem with whether God will heal so-and-so on the third pew or the person next to us. But where it breaks down is, will God heal me? And that's the same question that this leper had, because he had apparently heard of Jesus. He had apparently heard of the miracles that Jesus did. And so he came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him, saying, If you are willing, you can make me clean. I know you got the power. I know you've got the ability. The question I have, Jesus, are you willing? Will you do that for me? And Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. You know, I think Jesus answered a very important question here. I believe he set the record straight. Is God willing to heal you? You know, after looking a little bit in this area, I'm convinced of this. God is more willing to heal you than you want to be healed. God desires to heal you more than you desire to be healed. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4. Verses 23 and 24. Then Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness. It didn't say some kinds of sickness. It doesn't say a few kinds of sickness. It says all. All means every. Every single one. Every kind of sickness, every kind of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics. And then what does it say? And he healed them. He healed them. Chapter 8 of the same book, verses 16 and 17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He healed all who were sick. You know, don't you think that in this massive crowd of people, there would have been somebody there that wasn't worthy to be healed? There would have been somebody there that had done something to put themselves in a place where God wouldn't heal them. And yet every single one was healed. Chapter 12, also of the book of Matthew. Verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and took counsel against him that they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. You know, even when he's under the pressure from the Pharisees, they're trying to get him, what's Jesus doing? Healing everybody. Healing everybody. Revealing, demonstrating the will of God. One more scripture in Luke chapter 6. You might think we're looking at a lot of scripture here real quick, but we're looking at a very minute part of the scriptures that talk about this area. The Bible is just filled with it. Filled with it. Luke chapter 6, verse 17, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Do you know that Jesus Christ is still healing the sick? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is still healing the sick. Jesus is still not turning anybody away. He is the healer. He is the healer. There's another scripture in Acts chapter 5. Now realize, this is after Jesus has died. This is after he has risen from the dead, ascended, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Don't you like that word, all? They were some healed. You know, you just wonder who got it and who didn't and why. But it says they were all healed. Jesus Christ is a healer. You know, Jesus asked us to pray like this. He said, pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's authorized us to pray for God's will to be done. Do you know, as a born-again believer, you have tremendous authority to pray for God's will. You have tremendous authority to release the will of God to come to pass. Anything else, you don't have any authority. But you have authority to release the will of God. That's the authority that we have as born-again believers. We are to pray that God's will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Do you know that there are no sick people in heaven? How many believe me? There are no sick people in heaven because God's will is being done there. Jesus is saying, I want you to pray for God's will to be done on earth just like it is in heaven. I want you to be establishers of my will, my purpose, my desire. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus loves to heal. Do you know that? Do you know Jesus loves to save people? Heaven rejoices when that happens. And Jesus, I mean, you don't have to get him in an arm lock, you know? You don't have to say, Jesus, you know, you got to do something, you know, at all. You know, he wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. He desires to see his purposes come to pass. You know, tonight we're going to be talking about this area, and we're going to see from the Word of God that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he purchased healing for us. He not only purchased forgiveness for sins, but he purchased healing. And you know, when a person gets saved, Jesus doesn't have to come down and die on the cross again. You know, what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, bought it, purchased it, and all a person has to do is respond and receive it by faith. And you know, I'm finding that it's the same thing in the area of healing. You don't have to try to talk God into it. He's done it. In fact, so much so that in the New Testament, he says, by whose stripes ye were healed. He puts it in the past tense and he says, it's accomplished. All you have to do is receive it by faith. And you know, it is just as available to you as salvation. You know, the psalmist had a revelation of this. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, we have a tendency of forgetting some of God's benefits. Well, he saved me. But he says, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Praise God that he forgives us. Who heals all. Don't you like the word all? Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God has provided forgiveness. God has provided healing. Could I get the singers to come forward? Thank you, Jesus. You know, I want to encourage you tonight to bring anybody that's sick. I want to encourage you to bring your sick friends. If you've got sick friends, sick relatives, somebody that needs to to experience God's healing power, I want to encourage you to bring him tonight. Because Jesus Christ is a healer. And I want to give you opportunity this morning also. We're going to sing a chorus together. And as we sing this chorus, I just want to invite you this morning. If you would like to experience the healing touch of Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to just come forward and stand here while we're singing this song.